This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on Patriots.com Radio.
Second and goal at the Jet 3. Ready? Inside handoff to Green. Ellis to the left. He's going to go charging in. Touchdown. And hit at the goal line and flipped up and over. Second touchdown rushing at the game for Ben Jarvis. Green Ellis and the Patriots go 77 yards.
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Well, hey there. Welcome to a wonderful Wednesday here on Patriots.com, the Pete Shepherd Show, live, broadcasting live at our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette. Welcome, all are welcome here on this program today to bitch and moan and kvetch and complain and predict. Oh, no, that's about the Red Sox. We're not going to talk about them anymore. I said my piece. Disgraceful. Anyway, give me a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. 508-
Screw the Sox. Let's talk some football.
298-0398. Email me, webradio at patriots.com. Of course, you can Facebook me, Pete Shepherd, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. I will be here until 6 o'clock. Coming up in just a little bit is Fort Worth Star-Telegram beat writer for the Dallas Cowboys, Clarence Hill. Excellent writer, so you want to hear from him. We'll get his thoughts on the Cowboys and how he thinks the game is going to shape up. I just think this is going to be a very fascinating game. It'll be one of those games probably by a week from now. People will still be complaining about the Patriots defense and blah, 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 blah. But you got to understand again how the Dallas Cowboys have some talented players on this team, and they're going to put up points against most teams. The question is, Tony Romo is always going to be, he is just such a wild card. Such a wild card. And you just don't know what you're going to get. I mean, he gets rattled very easily. He's got a lot of Cutler in him in a lot of ways. I mean, I think Romo is more talented than Cutler is by a lot. But he gets rattled. I mean, now he doesn't have the pathetic offensive line that Cutler has. But I'm talking about just some tendencies there. That you see in Roman, always have. And I just don't know if you're ever going to win a Super Bowl with him. You know, I just don't see it. Certainly not in the, this year. I seriously doubt it. But as Brad Sham was saying, the great play-by-play, voice of the Cowboys to John Rook, I mean, he thinks like I do, which is it's still a very small sampling here. Five games is just not enough to know where the Dallas Cowboys are. I think we all realize that the Patriots will be stunned if they don't make the playoffs, okay? I think teams like Green Bay and New Orleans are going to be in the playoffs. Everybody else, I don't know. He brought up Detroit. I don't know. I can tell you those three teams, I am absolutely convinced will be in the playoffs. Patriots, Green Bay, and New Orleans. And the rest of them, I don't know. All right, here's the injury report that's out. So, guys who didn't participate today, Josh Barrett, Gerard Mayo, Mike Wright. Guys who are limited today in practice, Lee Bodden, Sergio Brown, Rozai Dowling, Julian Edelman, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, Albert Haynesworth, Aaron Hernandez, Matthew Slater, Sebastian Vollmer, Danny Woodhead, they were all limited. Patrick Chung, Danny Fletcher, full participation. So there you have it. Now, the Cowboys are getting Orlando Scandrick back, too, from a season-opening ankle injury. And they're going to have, it's going to be interesting with them because for the first time on defense this year, they're going to have Jenkins and Newman back with Scandrick, all three of them on the field for the first time. I don't know how long that'll last, but they're going to start anyway. All three of them will be on the field for the first time. But still, it's just, it doesn't matter to me because I don't know how Dallas's defense is going to be able to stop the Patriots offense. I don't see it. And I also see Dallas put up some points in this game. I really do. And I don't think there's any doubt about it. There's gonna be some points in this game. They're too talented with Dez Bryant, Miles Austin, Jason Witten, and those three can give anybody fits. But the Cowboys are just, you know, they just, you know, did they put the fear of God in you or anything? It's not like I've seen all their games, rewatched some of the tape this morning, the games that I had with them on it, and you know they are disastrous at times. I know they're two plays away probably from being 4-0. Like I said, they're also a couple plays away that could easily be 0-4. Easily be 0-4. But they're 2-2. Big game for them. They are coming off a bye week. So they've had plenty of time to prepare for the Patriots. You know, these teams don't meet a whole hell of a lot. And from an offensive standpoint, from the Patriots, as usual, I just don't think Dallas is going to be able to stop them. So as long as we know the Patriots cut down the turnovers to a minimal, if any, they should win the game. They should win the game. And despite Dallas right now having they're ranked number one in rush defense. They only give up 61.8 yards a game. I promise you the Patriots will have more than 61.8 yards on Sunday. I'm not worried about that. But it's going to be interesting to see if Dallas can run the ball. They've struggled running the ball all year. And even though Felix Jones is a damn good running back, you know, their strategy is going to be, let Romo beat you. And he's got a few weapons. As I said, Witten is a great tight end, and Miles Austin is back, and Dez Bryant. I mean, those are formidable, you know, offensive weapons that the Cowboys have. There's no question about it. A lot better than what the Raiders and Jets had. A lot better. Question is, can Romo not have a mental breakdown or two or three or four? You know? Blow leads of double digits, 21 points, 24 points. Hand the Jets a game. The Jets had no business winning. Remains to be seen. Let's get right to some of the emails. Webradio@patriots.com. JC says, I am so sick of hearing about these morons saying our defense sucks. Look around the league and watch some football games, morons. No team is perfect. I'd love to slap some of these schmucks. Well, I wouldn't go that far, but I agree. There's just not great defenses out there. And you can if you look at the Ravens and you see the points allowed and people lose their minds. If you watch the Ravens play this year, all right, they played the Steelers on opening day. Pittsburgh didn't even show up. They looked like they all had the flu. I mean, that was embarrassing, the way the Steelers played. And then they played that horrible game against the Jets. The offense was pathetic against the Jets, and the Jets' offense was even worse against Baltimore. And a lot of it wasn't all these tricky schemes that Baltimore was doing, because Sanchez has sucked. And they lost Mangold, and Baxter couldn't snap the ball from here to there. So you gotta take everything into perspective here. Not that Baltimore's not, one of the better teams in the AFC, because I do think they are, but they have flaws themselves. You know, it takes a team to win the Super Bowl, not just one side or the other. It takes a team, usually all three phases of the game, offensive, defense, special teams. Sean from Toronto says, hey, guys, I love the show. There was an article on NFL.com suggesting trades that teams should do before the trade deadline. It was proposed that the Patriots trade one of their first rounders for Jared Allen, as well as trading Guyton in a draft pick to the Eagles for Roger Cromartie. It seems that there is no way the Patriots would go for any of these trades, but do you think that you guys think there is any chance that the Pats will go for these guys or the Patriots will make even any of these trades? Why would you say never? Why would you say never? I think it's possible. I think it's possible, but I'm not sure it's going to happen. Let's wait and see. And the trading deadline's coming up shortly. Brian says, Pete, hey, bro, love your show. John just read my email a second ago before the show ended, and I said defense wins championships, and I heard you chuckle a little bit. I just want to say, you know I'm right, because if our defense would have come through in that 07 championship, we wouldn't be having this discussion, even from the past championships that we did win. Imagine if the Rams, Panthers, and Eagles defense would have stepped up. They could have won, but they didn't, and I know that. I'm telling you, though, defense does win you games, and you know it. Of course it wins you some games. All I'm saying is the Patriots that year in the Super Bowl had given up 17.3 points a game. They gave up 17 to the Giants that game, and the defense was in position to make plays. You know, I think the Patriots defense that year was ranked 8th in 07. And points allowed, they were right around there as well, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, I mean, Merriweather was in position to make a pick. So was Asante Samuel and Jarvis Green. You know, some refs might have called that a sack if it was a regular season game. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm not saying that. Of course defenses are important, but I'm saying it wasn't like the Giants put up 40 in that game. They put up 17. And it says, imagine if the Rams, Panthers, and Eagles defense would have stepped up. What does that mean? I mean, if what, maybe, you know, what if the Patriots had put up 50? You know, Patriots had a 10-point lead late in that game against the Eagles. So I think the defense stepped up pretty much in the second half. Remember, they were trailing that game early in that Super Bowl. The Panthers was, that Super Bowl was a weird, and Super Bowls tend to get kind of funky. You can get crazy. Look at look at Steelers-Arizona. I mean, look at the defenses in a lot of these Super Bowls. It's not like you're seeing, I don't care what their rank going in, it's not like you're seeing these incredible defensive battles. You know? You think Green Bay and Pittsburgh was a defensive slugfest last year in the Super Bowl? Not really. Arizona-Pittsburgh? The year before? I mean, the last time I saw offenses kind of struggle in the Super Bowl was like Pittsburgh-Seattle. Those, just a boring game. Some bad refereeing. Tim says, hi, Peter. I emailed you yesterday. Hope you had a chance to read it today. I hope this is it, because I didn't. Like I said, for whatever reason, the web thing was down yesterday. But it's called Nitpick Tuesday. So I nitpicked. The offense was a little boring. I didn't like seeing Brady get sacked back-to-back. I didn't like seeing us commit penalties on offense. I don't like seeing Hernandez lose a ball, allowing the Jets to pick it off. I don't like seeing Brady overthrow Hernandez. I found it boring. Brady agrees with me that they could have played better. Brady agrees with me that they left points in the field. The score should have been at least 37 to a possible 14. Well, Tiffany, I agree with all that, but I wouldn't say it was boring. If calling the offense boring is an affront to my fandomship for the Patriots, then I will take it. No, it's not. It's not. P.S. I will refute your assessment of Aaron Rodgers. I see Packers games every week, and Rodgers is every bit as arrogant and douchey as Jay Cutler. Rodgers gets away with it because he is more successful. He also whines about opponents not showing him the so-called proper respect. Never heard Brady whine about not receiving respect from opponents. It's not enough that the entire sports media loves him, but Rodgers expects his opponents to bow down to him, too. By the way, I can't stand Favre either. Best Tiff in Wisconsin. I've never heard, that's news to me about Aaron Rodgers bad-mouthing or being douchey, as Tiff says. That's news to me. And I mean, I don't watch Aaron Rodgers' press conferences every week, but that's something that I think, like, you know, sports media outlets would be all over if that were the case. I'm not saying you're wrong, Tiff, but I mean, I need to see. I mean, we say he whines about opponents not showing him the so-called proper respect. I don't. You'd have to show me an example of that, or an audio, or a written clip, a quote somewhere, because I just don't. I've never seen it. Chad says, hello, Pete and Kev. Hernandez had a three or four stretch balls thrown at him by Brady. I was surprised because he wasn't exactly at 100% versus the Jets. So in my opinion, Ocho should have been your guy for those stretch plays. I'd like to know why we don't see Ocho more in the red zone and why he wasn't your go-to guy in stretch plays instead of Hernandez against the Jets. By the way, did Bible say in Denver increase after Tebow? Bible sales increased after Tebow was named the starter. I heard he stopped men from using condoms and women from taking birth control pills. Expect a population boom and more Denver Broncos fans in 10 years. as far as Ocho being used in those situations, look, I mean, Belichick has his reasons. Belichick has his reasons. I mean, he certainly made, you know, he made some nice catches on Sunday, but he was only thrown to, he was only on the field for 23 out of, 80 snaps, right? Something like that. So, you know, they have their reasons, whether he's not ready in certain formations yet or they just trust other guys right now. That's the key. That's the thing. Nick says, in Columbia, Missouri, will somebody in the secondary please stand up? Make a name for yourself. Anybody other than Wilfork or Mayo ready to become a staple in the front? What a great week for a linebacker to step up and blanket Witten all day on Sunday. If the secondary doesn't come to play, Brady and company will be in for another shootout. I hope they can key on Miles Austin and make Des Bryant carry the pass-catching load. P.S. I'm ecstatically glad that Merriweather is no longer a Patriot. I just can't like the way he plays the game. And Pro Bowler or not, and of course Jared Allen is on my Christmas list too. True. Well, I think you've seen the defense has gotten better. I think the secondary, again, look at who they're playing last week, the Jets and a struggling offense. Okay? But I think you've seen improvement over McCourty the last couple of weeks. You know, and Bodden. I mean, they still need to get better. You know, I think if Barrett and Sean can be out there together healthy, that will make a big difference also. And I, you know, Spikes has played bad, but in the secondary, I mean, I think Chung has played pretty well this year so far. Sorry, I'm going to read another email, but I just read that one. You know, sometimes I think if you think the Patriots aren't going to give up at least three touchdowns or more in this game, I think you're crazy because it's going to happen. I'm already prepared for it. But I think Dallas would do that against a lot of teams with their offense. That's hard. They're going to be tough to stop. They usually stop themselves. They beat themselves. The quarterback has beaten themselves. Beating them single-handedly, in my opinion, cost them two games. Single-handedly. So, you know, don't kid yourself about this Cowboy team because they're a pretty good team. The one trap I'm not going to fall into at all, and I don't know if anybody has already, is the Rob Ryan thing because he coached at Cleveland last year, and all of a sudden he's going to have this blueprint to beat the Patriots, and it's a completely different set of circumstances here. So don't fall into that trap. Facebook says, I wish Patriots had Ed Reed or Troy Polamalu type 2003 defense plus 2010 offense. Well, you know, of course, we all want that. Jonathan Brady and Belichick will go down as the best 1-2 punch in NFL history. They must rank near the top already in most categories, wins, etc. Yes, they do. I don't have those numbers exactly in front of me, but yes. Christopher says, the feeling I had before this game reminds me of the feeling I had before the Chicago game last year. Everyone thinks shootout, but I think Pats dominate. Well, the way I look at it is, see, I thought the Patriots were going to win by at least a couple touchdowns last year in Chicago because Jay Cutler, to me, doesn't, as you know, doesn't do it for me. The Bears, even though they were playing well at that time, it was at home, and the entire media picked the Bears to, you know, upset the pay that day. And just they were no way. I don't know where they come up with this stuff. I don't know how much research they do, but that game, the Bears were just not going to, you know, they weren't even in the same class as the Patriots in any phase of the game. Remember, it was snowing heavily, and that's all I needed to see. That game was over. I think the game was over at kickoff. Like the first 5 minutes, that game was done, the way they get annihilated. This game does not remind me of that game at all. Even though Romo has had his horrible moments this year, I still think this team has a lot more character in it than the Bears do. But it's going to be interesting to see, you know, and the Patriots have done a good job so far in shutting down tight ends. Patriots have done a good job the last few weeks of shutting down the opponent's primary weapon. They did it with Gates, San Diego. They did it with McFadden for Oakland. And they did a good job, pretty good job last week with Keller for the Jets. So, I mean, Witten is tough, as tough as they come in the tight end business. But for the Dallas Cowboys to win this game, they're going to have to match the Patriots touchdown for touchdown, and I just don't see it in the end. I just don't see it. Just don't see it. But I think John was saying this earlier. I agree with him completely about the Patriots jump out to a lead in this game, 7-0, 10-0, 13-3, put the pedal to the metal and gas this team. Blow them out of the water. Score 60. Because once you can rattle Romo. You can rattle Romo. And DeMarcus Ware on defense for them is somebody that you have to keep aware of. And he goes all over the place. He's everywhere. And he's one of those guys that can affect an outcome of a game if you're not careful. However, the way Gronkowski and Hernandez, hopefully both are going to be out there, with the other weapons the Patriots have, going to be, I think it's just going to be tough for anybody's defense to play this team. All right, quick break. Email me, webradiopatriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook me. When we come back, Clarence Hill, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, will join us here on the Pete Shepard Show on patriots.com.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now, with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights, all right from the palm of your hand.
So, what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
Pat's interception, yes!
Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet. Anytime. He's at the 50, the 40!
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10! Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you're frightening the seamstress.
Oh, that tie back is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
Hey, back here on Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. Give me an email, shout out, webradio@patriots.com or Facebook me, Pete Shepherd, PETESHEPPARD. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we'll have Dallas Cowboy beat writer Clarence Hill from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. He'll be joining us with his thoughts. Cowboys had a practice inside today. It was raining out a little bit, or actually probably was pretty heavy if they had to get outside. To read a couple more Facebook messages. Gabriel says, Pete, love the show. Grew up in Cambridge, Mass. Now live in Colorado, and you provide the Patriots fix I need to survive living in Bronco country. The comment you made yesterday about how silly it is to hear that a team won the game, quote, the right way, has there ever been a Super Bowl team with an asterisk, world champions, quote, but they won the wrong way. A win is a win. Love the show. Go Pats. Thank you. Zach says, by the way, excellent job on the prediction. You were flawless in your description of the character of the win against the Jets. I'm paraphrasing, but you did say we'd win by more than one possession, but it wouldn't be dominating. As for the Cowboys, I actually look at them as a weaker team than the Jets, and one will have an easier time with their offense is mistake prone. Their offensive line is not really as good as the Jets and will have an easier time shutting down their running game and putting the ball into Romo's hands. As good as their receivers are, if you can neutralize Dustin Keller, we should be able to do almost the same to Witten, taking Romo's key trouble option away. Their secondary is mediocre at best, and then they have DeMarcus Ware, their front man, seven. It doesn't frighten me. One great pass rusher. It does not a defense make, though it helps. Just looking for your thoughts and keep up the great work. Zach, I'll address that in just a second. Right now, go ahead, back to the Ace Ticket Hotline and check in with Clarence Hill, Dallas Cowboy beat writer from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Hi, Clarence. Pete Shepard here. Thanks for taking a few minutes.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing great. We're doing great. So the Cowboys, I see, had a practice inside today.
Yeah, it was a little rain. Came down all morning, so they went to the stadium and practiced. That's their, I guess, new indoor facility since the other one blew down a few years ago in the tragic accident. But, yeah, they practiced inside, and they seem to be ready to go.
Well, they're coming off a bye week, and defensively, they might be as healthy as they've been in a while, at least in the secondary. You got Scandrick coming back along with Jenkins and Newman. They're on the field for the first time together all year. That should help. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Clarence. Can you hear me? This always happens to me.
I can't hear you.
Oh, I can't. Well, hang on a second. We'll see if we can.
Sorry.
Put him on hold. See if we can get him back. Yeah, we're speaking with Clarence Hill from the Fort Worth Star Telegram. Just a little technical problem, but we'll address that. But as we're about to, you know, in the secondary, the Cowboys have finally gotten healthier, at least. Ready to go? Okay, now we're back with Clarence Hill, Fort Worth Star Telegram. Hi, Clarence. Sorry about that. Still can't.
Hello?
Yep. Can you hear me, Clarence?
Yeah, it's real faint. It's real faint.
Really? Okay. Can you hear me now?
I was hearing you fine at first, and then it just went faint.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you great now.
Okay, that's great. We'll just do that. That's fine.
Okay.
Again,
now
we're speaking with Clarence Hill, Fort Worth Star Telegram, and so I was saying about the Cowboys, at least in the secondary, being a lot healthier this week with Scandrick, Jenkins, and Newman on the field for the first time together all year. I said that should help.
No doubt. You know, they haven't had their top three corners on the field together all year because Newman missed the first two games with a groin injury and Scandrick missed the last three games with a sprained ankle. And Scandrick has been actually their best cornerback since the start of training camp. He's their nickel corner, the guy that they're going to try to have shadow Wes Welker for most of the game on Sunday. But they're excited to have all their guys healthy and ready to go. Now, would that make a difference against the Patriots' offense that has scored 30 points or over 30 points in the last 13 games? I don't know, but at least it gives the Cowboys a fighting chance.
Yeah, it does give them a chance. There's no question. But the Patriots are so unique in the fact with Gronkowski and now Hernandez is back healthy with those two tight ends, in addition to the other receivers, and even though Chad Ochocinco has not, you know, really had a huge impact on this team so far. I mean, how it's got to be incredibly difficult for any team in the NFL to cover an offense like the Patriots when you have two unbelievable tight ends that can catch the ball and score at any given time.
There's no doubt. And the Cowboys, you know, talking to Jason Garrett, talking to coach, talking to players, they have a lot of respect for what the Patriots can do offensively, starting with the quarterback and what they do spreading out with the tight end set. They even talked about how well they've run the ball this year. But if they're the team that is confident, if they're the coach that is confident that they can have success against the Patriots, if these Cowboys, because of the defense coordinator, Rob Ryan, who you remember was the coach of Cleveland Browns, that held them to 14 points last year, and the last time they were held under 30 points. They have been studying that Browns game film. They've been talking to Rex Ryan, the desk coach. So they're confident and excited that they do have some wrinkles for the Patriots offense.
Yeah, I hear you, and I also caution everybody to be very careful to look seriously at that Browns game last year. First of all, it was a little bit of a different team, a little bit, but you know it wasn't like Brady threw five interceptions in that game. I don't believe he threw any, and I think Aaron Hernandez actually had a bad fumble in that game, and Hillis, I guess his agent told him to play that day, was able to just run amok amongst the Patriots. That was a big factor. Hillis, they just couldn't stop Hillis. So I'm not sure how much you're going to learn from that game against the Browns, and the Patriots are going to lose another game after that, I don't believe, the rest of the year until the playoffs. But well, tell me about Tony Romo. And how, I mean, you talk about a guy who seems to have all the potential in the world to be an elite quarterback, but I don't think he is. I'm sorry, with all due respect to Jerry Jones. Why can't this guy be consistent? Because at times he is brilliant.
Right. And that's just it. You know, I call Tony, you know, when I talk about it, it's almost like a Greek tragedy. You know, here's a guy who was never supposed to be anything. I mean, if you go back to high school, he was really lowly recruited out of high school. Didn't win any playoffs, and then went to the playoffs in high school. Went to a small college, you know, didn't win any playoffs, never made the playoffs, didn't win any playoff games in college. Gets undrafted free to come to the Cowboys, and actually should have been cut if not for Quincy Carter getting caught with drugs. You know, he would have been cut in that training camp. And, you know, there was no expectation. He was not a guy like, you know, even though Tom was a fifth-round pick, he still was highly recruited and went to Michigan. You know, you got not some of these quarterbacks. You look at most of the top quarterbacks went to big schools and played in big houses and in college and had a lot of expectations. There was not really a lot of expectation for Tony ever. You know, when he comes to the Cowboys and all of a sudden, here's a guy who was never expected to be none. He was one of us, you know, just a regular guy. And now the quarterback of America's team. He has the keys to the Cowboys' offense. And he makes the Pro Bowl after 8 games. He's dating starlets and American Idol winners and country stars. And he's living the life of Riley, you know. And so God gives him all of this and all his expectations, but he just has a ceiling on it. You know, we're going to give you this and, you know, make you the quarterback of America's team and make you throw all these passing yards, but we're not going to give you that clutch team. You know, it's like he puts up the numbers, and it's almost like, you know, Tom Brady. He has hollow. I'm not Tom Brady, but we used to talk about Drew Bledsoe. Maybe you guys have a different feeling about Drew Bledsoe, but he put up a lot of yards, a lot of hollow stats. But in the postseason, when the game where it matters most, the numbers are not there. And the same thing with Tony. He will own every record in Cowboys history as far as a quarterback is concerned. But there are no playoff wins. They're not a litany of playoff wins. He only has one. You know, there are no major titles, and you judge quarterbacks in Dallas by Super Bowls. That's where the standard is with Troy Aikman and Roger Staubach. And, you know, it's funny, people try to put down Tony by saying he's another Danny White. Well, Danny White was 3 NFC champions.
Oh, God. Danny White, to me, is 100,000 times better than Romo. I would take Danny White in 2 seconds over Tony Romo. That's a no-brainer.
He's trying, he's getting better. They're going to try to manage. I think the coaches can do some things to manage the game better. They should not have been throwing the ball in that game when they were throwing the ball against Detroit. That game should have been won by the coaching staff. You got to understand who your quarterback is and manage the game better. They're going to look at some of those things and probably put him on a leash late in games and to manage the thing better. This Cowboys team, you can say what you will about Tony, he will probably get this team to the brink of the playoffs and not in the playoffs because the division is horrible, and they will do enough to be right there at the end. It's just a matter of can he take that next step.
Talk to me about how healthy is Miles Austin going to be this week?
Miles Austin would be better. He missed the last 2 games with the hamstring injury. He had to bye week to go on top of that, so he's healthy and ready to go. He's back at practice, as is Dez Bryant. You know, those two guys have not been on the field together since the season opener against the Jets, so they're going to have their full complement of receivers. They're going to have their full. I mean, the Cowboys are healthier than they've ever been since the start of the season. So they're healthy and ready to go. Tony's ribs are going to be better this week than they were the last couple games. Running back Felix Jones has actually played pretty good the past 2 weeks with a dislocated shoulder. He's going to be healthier and have more energy this week. So, you know, obviously the weak thing on this Patriots is that defense. They ranked last in the league for whatever reason. They're last in the league, and the Cowboys think they can move the ball as points on
that defense. Yeah, and the problem is, and Clarence, and I say this to everybody, and I keep preaching it, the way the league is now is a completely dominant offensive league. And, yeah, net yardage-wise, which that, to me, and a lot of times sacks can be the most overrated stats in sports. When the bottom line for me is I look at points allowed, and points allowed, the Patriots have allowed one less fewer point per game than the Packers have. New Orleans has allowed a bunch of points. I mean, Dallas has allowed a bunch of points. I'm with you. I mean, I think the Cowboys are going to score some points in this game, I have no doubt. that they're going to score over 20. There's no doubt in my mind that that's going to happen. But I just think the way the league and football, sports is cyclical, you know that, and the way the offenses are right now in the NFL, I just think they are way, way ahead. You know, the days of the 2000 Ravens and the early 90 Cowboy defense and the 85 Bears, I got those days, at least for now, are done, in my opinion.
No, you're right. And those days are done. But, you know, and I hear what you're saying about the scoring defense, but there are concerns with this Patriots defense.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't want to be last, you know, regardless with numbers-wise. And the Cowboys, you know, may be potentially the most explosive offense they've faced so far this year. And with all due respect to the Bills, you know, when Tony and those guys get together, they can put some points on the board if they have it going well. And so they, you know, that's where they got a punch of chance. That's where they feel their punch of chance is to, you know, use their weapons. Their Dez and Miles are healthy. They can finally put it together with Jason Witten and Felix Jones. They have some explosive pieces on offense, and they would like to see them, you know, really make a statement. You know, this is the Cowboys looking at this game as an opportunity to make a statement and say, we're back. You know, we're ready to take the next step. We're ready to build some momentum. They can do that with a win Sunday against the Patriots.
They sure can. Just a couple more questions. One, I know, you know, the Cowboys running game hasn't been, I know Jones is having a nice year, and he's averaging about 4 yards a carry, but the rest of the running game hasn't been spectacular. Patriots have done a pretty good job this year overall of stopping the other team's best guy. They did it with Gates, with San Diego. They did it with McFadden for the most part for the Raiders. But they have not faced, this Cowboy team has a lot more weapons on it than the Raiders and the Jets do. And I think the Cowboys are better than both of those teams, certainly. So I do think the Patriots are going to have their work cut out from on offense. And Jason Witten is just, he's one of my favorite players in the league to watch. He's spectacular. And, you know, he can almost single-handedly at times win you a ball game.
Oh, no doubt. He is, you know, and it's funny because he's not as athletic as Antonio Gates or maybe Tony Gonzalez in his prime, and maybe not some of the younger guys like Jimmy Graham or Jermichael Finley, but he is consistent. He doesn't drop any passes. He makes plays. He catches balls. He blocks. You know, he's Tony Romo's line is his blanket. You know, he's a guy he can rely on. He's his most trusted receiver, and he does it game in and game out. He just put it down. He's going to catch five or six balls every game. You know, and this season, you know, they have five or six balls plus 100 yards in receiving. And he's going to be there. He's the guy that Tony's going to look for. And, you know, I know the Patriots have a nice collection of tight ends, and they're kind of Tony, they're kind of Jason Witten clones, actually. You know, you look at the guys that they have, and they kind of play in the mold of a Jason Witten.
And last question is about, you know, DeMarcus Ware, a guy that, again, is one of those guys. He can be a game changer if you don't pay attention to him. And he is unbelievable because he plays all over the place. He never seems to be in the same place twice.
Yeah, no, Belichick in the conference call today with the local media here, he compared him to Lawrence Taylor. And obviously, you know, Belichick coached Taylor with the Giants.
Of course.
It was a good comparison. And, yeah, there's no doubt. And that's one thing that Bill Parcells, when he drafted DeMarcus Ware, compared to Lawrence Taylor. And if you look at his numbers, he's already putting up Lawrence Taylor type numbers as far as sacks are concerned. The thing that Ware noticed today when we talked to him in the locker room is that he's got more single coverage or single blocks this year than he has in any time since his rookie year because of the way he's moved around in Rob Ryan's defense and the way they are using the blitzes and bringing guys that, you know, he's not just on the right side anymore where guys can look for him and chip for him and stuff like that in the slide protection. You know, you may see him on the right side, may see him on the left side, may see him lining up over Nova Stock or coming in. So he's going to be moved around and, you know, obviously off to a great start with seven sacks. He's looking for more.
All right, Clarence, thanks so much. Any prediction on the game? What do you refrain?
Oh, I predicted earlier in the week that Patriots 31, Cowboys 24, but we'll see.
Okay. All right, my friend, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you down the road, Clarence. Thank you for taking a few minutes. Thank you.
No problem.
That's Clarence Hill from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, beat writer for the Dallas Cowboys. I was wondering how fast or quickly it would take for him to say America's team. Did you notice I almost vomited right here when he said it?
Yeah, quarterback of America's team.
Quarterback of America's team. No. Not the case. Not the case anymore. It's just.
How about you, guys?
Yeah, how about him? But you know what's funny? You know what, you might know this, Matt. Matt's in now for Kevin. You know what Dallas's record is since 2000?
I do not.
Take a guess what their record is since the year 2000.
I mean, I'd like to think well over 500, but I know there was a couple rough years in there.
Including the games this year, guess what their record is?
How many games have they played?
I'll tell you, there's exactly 184.
I'm going to go 74 and 70.
That'd be 144.
That's way off. Oh, my.
Yeah. No, I'll help you out. 92 and 92.
Really?
92 and 92 for America's team.
I meant
since
90.
2000.
That's, I said 70.
Yeah, I understand. 90. That's fine.
Really? That's 500?
500 since 2000. 92 and 92. That blew my mind when I saw that. I mean, of course, you remember, you go back to Quincy Carter before Romo, Bledsoe struggled, and you forget how mediocre to piss poor some of those teams were. They seemed talented.
Some rough years, but I didn't think it was that rough.
92 and 92 since 2000. I was blown away by that today.
How about them guys?
Oh, yeah. How about them? Hi, Pete and Kevin. Here is how I think the game will go this Sunday. Dallas has no running game this year, so that will leave it up to Tony Romo to win the game. Our defense will take Jason Witten out of the game like they did in San Diego's Antonio Gates and force Romo to go to his wide receivers. Romo will hold the ball too long. It's sacked four times with two fumbles and two picks. Our offense will have its way with Rob Ryan's defense. Our offense will put big numbers against Rob Ryan's defense. Why? Because Rob took advice from his brother Rex on how to beat the Patriots. This game will be over after the first quarter. Patriots 49, Dallas 6. I hope you're right, Gene. I will have a different opinion tomorrow. Trust me, it will not be. I would be shocked if it's 49-6. That's the other, like the other caller telling me about the like the Bears game was going to be. He thought it was going to be like the Bears game was last year. I don't see it. I think this is going to be a pretty close game for a while before the Patriots have just too much talent to put away. Sven in Sweden says, last year San Diego had the number one defense in the league, but still the Patriots allowed about 0.5 points less per game. Yes, I brought this up many times. They also had the number one offense statistically in the league, and they didn't make the playoffs. So can people stop talking about the BS yards? I never heard about people whine about the yards a team gave up in the past. What's the point about judging a defense on yards allowed? That's like talking about yards Boston Bruins allowed. Only stats that matter is points allowed. How much do you think Hernandez will affect him this game because he looked a bit slower last game? I don't know. A couple, he had a drop, and, you know, again, it was first game back. He actually played a lot more than I thought he was going to play. So I just think he's going to get better. He's terrific, and I don't see the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are going to have a major, major problem with him. And I think they're going to have a major problem with Gronkowski, and they're going to have a major problem with Welker. You know, if Welker can have the kind of game he had against Revis, we really think Orlando Scandrick's going to come and do as a slot corner, and it looks like, unless they start moving guys around, but it looks like Scandrick's going to shadow him the whole game. Scandrick's okay. Yeah, he has flashes, and he's probably considered their best defensive back, as we just talked about. But I know Jenkins and Newman. Terrence Newman is not what he used to be. Not by the longest of shots. But it is the first time the three of those guys will be on the field together in a while. And, it, you know, it's I'm not sure. I just don't see Dallas. Dallas is going to have to score over 35 points to win this game. I don't see it. I just don't see it. I think the Patriots eventually will start off throwing the ball all over the place. I know they'll try and be more balanced, but they're going to throw the ball all over the place against this team, in my opinion, to start. And, you know, and once they get the lead, you know, maybe the last quarter they pound it out. Not that Dallas isn't going to score some points, but because I think they will. Because I think Dez Bryant and Miles Austin are going to get their catches against the Patriots. There's no doubt about it. They are going to get their catches against the Patriots. And Witten, you know, will probably have a couple great catches as well. It's just tough to stop those three guys for anybody's defense. But I don't see Jones having a great day running the football. And if he does, it'll be at the expense of stopping the other three guys. So we'll see. But 49-6, I do not see. And I think it'll be closer than that. Let's see. Da-da-da. This is from... Oh, that's... I'll crack me up some of the stuff that we get that is just ridiculous. Anyway, email me, webradio@patriot.com, webradio@patriot.com. Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Of course, you can call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. I'm trying to get to some of the other emails. Read that one. Jonathan says, hi, Pete, did you hear about Mason being suspended for yelling at OC about playing play calling? Also, what about the Jets having a camera on the sidelines at the Pats game on Sunday? Well, we addressed that yesterday, And we went through it, and apparently it was a similar thing to, like, Patriots, what you see on All Access and everything else, blah, blah, blah. And apparently had permission, and everything was okay. However, I still contend that, God forbid, it was the Patriots on the Jets sideline that all hell would have broken loose. But I'm not bringing up Spygate again, all that stuff. The bottom line is it was legal. He was credentialed. Kevin talked about it, broke it down yesterday. And it was all on the alleged up and up, according to everybody here.
Rex now, Ryan would have called the press conference at halftime.
Oh, God. He'd still be talking. He'd still be talking. Gary says Mason was traded by the Jets to the Houston Texans for a conditional seventh-round draft pick, so evidently the Jets weren't happy with Mason's performance both on and off the field. Mason's plexiglass Burris and Santonio Holmes all went to not-so-sexy Rex to complain about Brian Schottenheimer's play calling after the loss to Baltimore. He was a very good possession receiver for the Ravens, but it looks like there is not too much tread left on his tires. I agree with that. John goes on to say,
that's being a jackass.
Even at 80%, Hernandez still did a great job against the Jets, so lucky Brady overthrew him. I think the Gronkowski-Hernandez matchup to me is always intriguing. I just don't see the Cowboys covering these guys. I mean, Anthony Spencer, you know, Sean Lee, James, and DeMarcus Ware is going to be rushing the passer for the most part. I think I just don't see Dallas being able to stop the Patriots' offense at all. The question is, can the Patriots come up with just a couple of stops to hold the Cowboys in check and let Romo beat you? Actually, Romo will beat himself. We know. Here's what we know. Romo's good for probably at least a pick six and probably 2 to 3 picks. And the best part about Romo is, if you're a Patriots defender, is a lot of times you don't have to play good defense. You know why? He just throws it to the wrong team automatically.
Sucky.
Seen it time and time again. That's the best part about the Patriots defense this week, is you don't have to be good because Romo will find a way to screw it up. That's what he does. Green Jim Revis, here you go. I mean, Revis is a great corner, but that was one of the worst throws. The Detroit game, go back and watch those highlights. Oh, my God. In Detroit had this, like, mastermind, you know,
that was Chris Houston.
Buddy Ryan schemes for the Bears. I mean, come on. It was awful. It was just pathetic, the throws he was making in that game.
Chris Houston, that's all you need to say.
Chris Houston, and also the play calling. I mean, you can certainly fault Jason Garrett for some of the calls that he made. I don't know if Romo audible a lot of them or not. But you got the 24-point lead on Detroit, and you can't win that game? I know everybody's getting all overhyped about Detroit. But, I mean, the Bears are awful. Awful. That offensive line is going to, I said it, I couldn't believe I actually had sympathy for Cutler Monday night because he's lucky he ended up in a body bag at the end of that game. That's how bad it was. If you missed it. I mean, their offense, I mean, the Bears offense, but I mean, watching Merriweather just run after guys and miss, and you can totally see why he's not here. He did not have a good game. Yeah, exactly. Dylan says in Sunrise, Florida, I think the Pats should and will win big versus Dallas. But then again, they have DeMarcus Ware, who's really good, but I think the Pats have way better set of weapons. Wes, Dion, Julian, Chad, Stephen, Benny, a.k.a. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellison, and others as well. They will win. Mark my words. And how about that whole thing about Miami actually getting tickets sold to celebrate Tim Tebow's return to Florida? October 23rd, I think it's quite funny. And your thoughts on what the Pats should and could do come trade deadline next Tuesday. I would love to see Jared Allen come to town. Also, maybe trade some picks for Guyton or for Rogers Cromartie. One of them would be a damn good for both, but we would even be more scary. Thanks. Let's go, Pats. Fins blow hard. Yeah, I talked about this yesterday. The best part about is going to see Tim Tebow. They're celebrating the 2009 University of Florida National Championship. And he's going to be playing for Denver. That's going to be beautiful. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Right, as far as the trading deadline, I'm not going to sit here and tell you what the hell's. I have no idea what their plans are. Would I love to see him trade for Jared Allen? Sure. Love to see it.
Yeah, let's trade for DeMarcus Ware while we're at it.
You know, I'm, is it possible? Do they have the money under the cap? They probably could do some maneuvering to get it done. I'd have to look up the numbers. I just don't know. I have no idea about the trading deadline. I mean, you really, but you don't, in the NFL is not like Major League Baseball, as you guys know. You don't see like a big, massive amount of trades at the trade deadline. Now, I'm not putting it past the Patriots to do anything. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, I'm not expecting much. And maybe I'm pleasantly surprised and, when it happens. But right now, you know, right now, it's, we'll see. Right now that they are what they are. I can just go by the players that they have. That's all I can do. I can just comment on the players that they have, not who they don't. Stats on the Cowboys from Chad. Cowboys rushing attack, 86.8, which is correct. It's 26th in the league. Oh, he has that. Third down conversions, 18 of 52. Sacks allowed, 13. Allowed 101 points, 25.2 per game, 23rd. Worse than the Patriots, by the way. Cowboys' O-line has been very questionable so far, and if Felix Jones can stay healthy all game. Interesting to see if Rob Ryan will blitz every two plays. Kevin, did you find the I guarantee a Super Bowl? Not sure. The thing is, the O-line, you're right about the O-line, but I think the O-line also combining with Tony Romo's brain farts that he has, seemingly five or six a game, that can make an offensive line look pretty bad, too, at times. He just has a way of just making really bad decisions at costly times in games. And another time you see him make plays on the run or throwing, and he looks like a brilliant quarterback. But I could never see Tony Romo. You talk about if you're in Dallas, if you're a Cowboy fan, and you wouldn't take Danny White over Tony Romo, you're crazy. Danny White was a great quarterback. In my opinion, I mean, he wasn't Roger Staubach, but he was a great quarterback. One of the great Cowboys of all time, from a quarterback standpoint. And Tony Romo might be a little flashier, and the league is different now than it was back in the mid-80s when Danny took over, as far as throwing the ball and all that stuff. But and the Cowboys certainly had a better team, much more balanced team back then. They were one of the great teams in the NFL. But I'd give me Danny White any day over Tony Romo, any day. D says, oh, no, I already read that one. Okay. Brooklyn Matt says, Pete, you have my sympathies for enduring that Dallas beat writer's call. First off, his cell phone sucked and kept crapping out. Secondly, his enunciation sounded like he had a big wad of chaw crammed in his cheek. I thought we were going to hear the spittoon clank in the background at any moment. And lastly, he thought he was enlightening you to the fact that Bill Belichick coached Lawrence Taylor at one time. Yeah, that was, I mean, you know, I wanted to enlighten him that the last time DeMarcus Ware played the Patriots, he had one sack. And Matt Light played actually pretty well in that game. And the Cowboys got annihilated in Dallas by the 2007 Patriots after leading at halftime. The Patriots came out and scored like 30-7 at the end of the game and crushed them like by three touchdowns. So. Yeah, funny.
Thing is with Ware, though, if Vollmer doesn't play this week, do you think you see him lining up a lot more?
If he doesn't play this week?
If Vollmer, for us,
oh,
doesn't play, do you think they see, you know, giving Nate Solder a go? I mean,
I think,
he's
well,
done well. But
Ware played, you know what, I think he's going to play everywhere. Just like I was saying, I think they move him around a lot. Now, if they find what they consider a weakness somehow in the Patriots, maybe he stays on one side or the other. But for the most part, I think he's a dangerous guy. He's a guy that... you know, and we've seen Matt Light do pretty well against a lot of these guys. And I know some people, they always remember the one sack, but they forget there's 60 plays on average on offense by the other team. So the other 59, he did pretty well. A lot of times people just say, you know, they remember one play. I always say, well, what about, okay, well, did you see Matt Light? He got burned by this guy or that guy. I go, yeah. Okay. What about the other 58 to 65 plays that he did and stopped them? I mean, but. You're right about DeMarcus Ware, though, Matt. I mean, it depends on what happens. And the injury report, again, as I said, is out. And Barrett, Mayo, and Wright did not participate today. Limited with Bodden, Brown, Dowling, Edelman, Green, Ellis, Haynesworth, Hernandez, Slater, Vollmer, and Danny Woodhead. They were all limited today. So glad Danny Woodhead's back out there. That'll just be another added weapon for the Patriots. And knowing him, how he is, he's going to be dying to get back out there and play. Clay from Foster, Rhode Island says, "Hi, Pete. I'm new to your show and so glad I found you guys. I'm so tired of talk radio torturing me with the Red Sox post-mortem day in and day out. My question for you is, do you think that Dan Gronkowski will be contributing positive force on our offense? And do you think that Ochoa will start to step it up or fade and stay the same, like 1 to 3 catches per game? Great finding you guys. I'll be listening, Clay from Foster, Rhode Island." Good questions, Clay. I think Dan is what he is. I mean, the two tight ends, he's certainly not going to replace his brother, in, as far as a pass receiving situation, I doubt it. Maybe he goes in as a decoy sometime. I mean, he's your third tight end. He's going to be in there to block for the most part. Now, can he go out and catch the ball? I'm sure he can, but I don't know. I just don't see that in the Patriots. Maybe down the goal line. Maybe down the goal line, you might see him sneak away, you know, like Vrabel used to.
I see him being solely there to help
block.
Block,
yeah.
DeMarcus Ware.
Yeah. He's one part, no question. But I guess it could be an offensive goal line formation. You could see Rob and Dan line up and Hernandez out there. And, I could see Dan slipping out, unscathed because people won't be paying any attention to him. And that's happened before, but I think he's there to block for the most part. As far as Ocho, I can't figure it out. I mean, I don't know if anybody can. I mean, he was only on the field, but they had 68 snaps, I think, on offense Sunday. He was out there for 23 of them. So he was thrown 2-3 times, had a couple of catches for 23 yards, and that's nice. Couple of nice catches. I think he's just getting more. He's going to have one of these games where he's going to catch five for 80 yards and a couple of touchdowns. I have no doubt that day is coming. I just think people think they want him to be Randy Moss, and I just don't think that's not going to be the case. It's not going to be the case. So, your guess is as good as mine. I think his time is coming, not to be this big bust out receiver. But I think it's time. I keep saying it every week. I predict a touchdown, so I'm going to stick with it this week and say he scores a touchdown. He dropped one this year that he clearly had in the Buffalo game. So that was just – that can't happen. Hopefully it won't happen again. But since that play, he's been – I mean, at least he's caught – and he's averaging over 15 yards a catch, which I think is good. Kevin brought that up yesterday. It was a good stat. I mean, he is averaging over 15 yards a catch. So that's something.
Bill!
Pete, I was just thinking, could you imagine if Dan Gronkowski caught a touchdown, the celebration that would ensue?
It could be ugly.
I can just picture Rob just going crazy.
I swear to God, it's like kind of wussy-ish of me, but I really worry about guys getting hurt in celebrations. I always have. I just hope it doesn't get carried. Even, jumping up a little bit and bopping on the sidelines, over some of these guys, want to do backflips, and I'm just like, please,
Did you see the Marion Barber one from 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about?
Well, that was one. I forgot about that one. That was one, But I always worry about, and guys piling on one another in the end zone sometimes. I'm like, God, I'm like, don't do it. I mean, all it takes is one little turn or twist. You've started in baseball a few times over the last couple of years as well. All right, we're going to take a quick break and then come back. Lots of more emails to read on the web radio at patriots.com. We're broadcasting live at our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette. Pete Shepard here until 6 o'clock on patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline if you wish, 508-298-0398, or Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Back on patriots.com right after this.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights all right from the palm of your hand.
So what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
Pat's interception, yes!
Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet, anytime. He's at the 50, the 40!
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10! Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you're frightening the seamstress.
Oh, that tie back is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon. official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
Oh, Matt, you're going to get the masses upset. You didn't play the theme song for the 5 o'clock hour. We'll do it when we come back from the second break. That's my I Hate the Jets theme. It's becoming like, I get more emails about people downloading it to their iPhones and how can I get it and blah, blah, blah. It's just, you know, my sophomoric attempt to belittle the Jets, which I must say I enjoy on a weekly, on a daily basis here.
I know what you mean. I completely forgot about that.
That's all right.
Sorry to Patriots Nation, but we'll definitely.
We'll have it. We'll have it. A couple more emails, then we're going to check in and hear what Bill Belichick had to say early today. D says, I know I just wrote in. That's okay, D. But I just wanted to get your thoughts on if you think that all the jeering and jarring other players and teams towards the Pats on a weekly, daily basis, does it move the Pats mentally at all? And also, I know I asked already, but who and what do you think will do on the trading deadline block? What names or players would you like to see brought in? Also, this is Dylan from Facebook. And let's go Pats. And what's with the love-hate relationship with Welch and Ventrone? Hee hee. Oh, they are. They signed Welch back to the practice squad today. Trading deadline, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you about the trading deadline. I'd love to see Jared Allen here and some of the Cromartie, the other names you brought up. No problem with that. I just don't know what their thoughts are. I don't know what they're going to do. It'd be a lot easier to evaluate if I could be at practice every day and watch. You know, I know the games and everything else. And I have to see what, you know, those guys' salaries are, what the contracts are all about too. Which I don't have that information in front of me right now. I mean, it's just too much. I just don't, an NFL trading deadline, I just don't expect blockbuster trades like in baseball. They are far and few between.
You expect Minnesota to give up arguably their best player outside of Adrian Peterson.
Yeah. I mean,
I just don't see, like, I don't get where it's coming from.
Especially after they won last week, finally. I mean, they could have easily won two more games. They've blown two games when they've been up by 17 to 20 points. So, you know, they're a tough team to figure out. It's too early in the season, I think, for them to trade Jared Allen. I wouldn't expect it, but, you know, nothing in sports shocks me anymore. As far as about people jarring against the Patriots, does it motivate them? Yeah, well, I mean, they're the masters of bulletin board material. This week, I don't know if anybody from Dallas is saying anything. I haven't heard anything negative or bulletin board material. Nothing at all. The only thing I've heard is Orlando Scandrick say that he's going to, you know, he's looking forward to going up against Welker because he thinks it's going to be a major challenge for him, obviously. But he didn't say anything derogatory about it at all. So, JC, Aaron Curry was just traded from Seattle to the Raiders for a 7th pick in 2012 and a mid-round in 2013. I wonder if Bill took a look. I think he's a decent player. Hey, guys, this is Phil in Alpharetta, Georgia. I haven't sent you anything for a while, but I've been listening. The last couple of weeks, you have said multiple occasions that Albert Haynesworth could be gone by the end of the season. Not me. I've never said that. Not in this show. You have also said that you don't see much difference between him and Kyle Love. And watching the game so far, I have to say that I haven't seen much from him either. This is a big disappointment. I think we need to have at least an average pass rush in order to win the Super Bowl. I don't think that Albert would immediately start playing like he did in last year at Tennessee, but I thought he would look better than Kyle Love. My question is, where did his talent go? It was only 3 years ago he was considered one of the top 2 to 3 defensive linemen in the league. When he signed with Washington, no one said it was a bad contract because he lacked talent. They said it was a bad contract because he had character issues and would not play well once he got the big money. He's only 30 years old and has no significant injuries. He seems to be motivated to resurrect his career with the Pats. Why is he such a non-factor? Where did his talent go? Well, his talent went... The problem is keeping him on the field for a game. You know, I think if you watch the game last week when the Jets tried to run the ball and Albert was on the field, they had a hard time running the ball. And that's because of Albert and Wilfork and stuff. He hasn't been horrible. I mean, has he been a total bust? No, nothing like that. But he just can't stay on the field, it seems. He's always cramping up. Something's happening. But, no, they're not going to give up on him yet. But if you go back and watch the Jet game, you'll see when he's on the field, I mean, he has made an impact in the plays that he's made. I mean, the sacks aren't there. I understand that. But he is making an impact when he's on the field. And so far, character issues here have not been the problem at all. We'll hear from Albert, too, coming up in just a little bit as well here on the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com. Here until 6 today as we broadcast live inside our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. The stadium's right over there. See? Right over your shoulder, right over there. Yep. No, a little to the left. Yep, right there. There you go. It's right there. Let's see. Sven again in Sweden. Hi, Pete. Do you know if Rosie Dowling will play against the Cowboys? I don't know why I think he will become a Pro Bowler in the future. All I know is that I want to see him against taller receivers. Consider Dowling's height. I think he'll be a perfect fit against Dez Bryant. Will Romo cause over under 3.5 turnovers, interception fumbles? McCourty over under 1.5 picks? Albert over under 0.5 sack? Thanks for you to speak on fantasy stats. The reason it's called fantasy stats is that it is fantasy, nothing else. I think Romo, I'll take the under in the Romo 3.5, but I think he has 3. I'm going to say he has 3, either fumble or 3 picks or a combination of both. McCourty over under 1.5 picks. I'll say McCourty gets at least 1. Could get 2. Albert over under 0.5 a sack. I wouldn't even touch that because I don't know. For the reasons I just said about him being in the field. And Rosie Dowling, yeah, he was one of the guys today that is, limited at practice. But I'm sure you're going to see him in some form, a combination of guys at some point on Dez Bryant. I have no doubt that's going to happen at some point. Let's see. Now that's old. All right. Email me on webradiopatriots.com or Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETSHEPPARD. You can also call the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. That is the number. Chad says on Facebook, hi, I'm the one that brought up if Jared Allen could come up to Foxborough, talk yesterday night. He is such a tremendous player. I was joking, actually, more than suggesting. Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad we cleared that up. All right, let's hear what head coach Bill Belichick had to say, in case you missed it early today during his Wednesday press conference.
We've kind of got a crash course going here on the Cowboys. A lot of film, a lot of time spent on these guys in the last 48 hours, you know, trying to get to know this team. Well-coached, very talented team. As I said yesterday, could easily be 4-0, just a couple plays away. They've really got a lot of good players. Scheme-wise, they do a lot of things that are difficult to prepare for. They give you a lot of different looks and, you know, move their personnel around a lot of different ways in all three phases of the game. They do some things that are... You know, pretty creative, you know, on offense, defense, special teams, and just a couple things we haven't seen before that we'll have to try to get a good look at. And you know, I think this would be a lot easier team to prepare for if you were playing them twice a year, you know, and you kind of had a feel for, you know, some of the things that they do and when they do them. But, you know, we're definitely not there yet. So we've got a lot of work to do this week. Be a big challenge for us. And it's a real good football team. They're well coached. They do a good job. They got a lot of good players.
Is there anything about Romo specifically that makes it tough to defend?
I think he does everything well. Throws the deep ball well. Short, intermediate balls. Gets rid of it quickly. Definitely doesn't hold the ball back there. He's not a guy that's going to take a lot of sacks. You know, gets it out quick. Uses all of his skill players. Is smart in terms of you know, running run pass checks and. You know, they do some things based on one look the defense gives. They'll do one thing. If they get another look, they'll do something else. He obviously handles that pretty well. He's athletic. He can get out of the pocket, can make some plays with his feet. So, you know, he can keep some plays alive like he did in the Washington game on that 3rd-and-25 blitz or whatever it was. You know, Redskins sent everybody after him. He kind of, you know, scrambled around there for a couple seconds, bought a little extra time, and then chucked it down there to Bryant. So, I mean, he can do things like that too. Very athletic guy that gets rid of the ball quick, has real good accuracy. You know, I made a great throw to Holly there on the long pass in the overtime against San Francisco to set up that game-winning field goal. So, he's got a good touch on the ball down the field, and you know, and does a good job on, you know, screen passes. They throw a lot of screen stuff like that. And he's got a nice game.
Bill, is Rob Ryan doing a lot of the same things Cowboys that he did with the Browns defensively?
You know, there's some things, but I think this is truly, you know, Rob's package, Rob's defense. I think there were elements of Rob in Oakland, there were elements of Rob in Cleveland, but I think this is really, you know, the way he's got it set up, the way his calls are organized. I think this is really totally his package.
Does having worked with him before, I know it's been a long time, but does that give you any insight into how Brian might approach an offense? I mean, it's 17 years.
Well, I mean, he'll approach it based on how he personally, you know, sees it and evaluates his personnel and how they match up against ours and so forth. But I think, you know, we have an idea of, you know, structurally how he'll, you know, organize the game plan or how he'll you know, how to bring it all together. Now, specifically what that means, I mean, of course, you know, we're just guessing. But, you know, I think we have an understanding of what, you know, generally how he works, you know, how Jason works, how Joe DeCamillis, you know, like basically what they do. We played against those guys enough times, you know, as coordinators and head coaches, seen them, you know, do enough things. So, but, you know, the specifics of it, that always changes from week to week. And they do a good job of that. They do a good job of game plan, and they change their scheme based on who they're playing. So, you know, what we get and what they did last week is, you know, probably two different things.
You've got a team like the Cowboys who you're not that familiar with. You just said the crash course you've kind of been on in the last 48 hours. But do you do any advanced scouting, maybe some prep work the week before, or do you have?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Any more than usual, or what does that entail?
It entails people in our organization breaking down all their personnel and having that ready when, you know, Sunday night when the game's over, when the Jets game's over. People breaking down their last however many offensive and defensive games that we want to evaluate, or maybe it's the last four, maybe it's, you know, two of the last four and two other ones, depending on which games we think are most relevant. But, you know, we'll break down at least four games on them and sometimes more. You know, we did our off-season scouting report on this. You know, we knew we were playing on the sixth week of the season. So, you know, we were able to look at things that, that Jason did last year as the head coach and their personnel and so forth. So, I mean, it's like, yeah, we walked in here Monday morning and, like, who are we playing this week? Let's go to work on them. No, it's – but, again, we spent all our time and energy, you know, at the end of the week last week getting ready for the Jets and preparing for that game. And so, you know, once it's over, then you turn the page. But, you know, other people in the organization have been working to get ahead, and you have a lot of information ahead of you. It's just, you know, you're processing it, you know, like I said, really in the last 48 hours or so and going back over your notes and some previous work that you've done on the team, but it's still a crash course, yeah.
After the Jets game, a lot of guys talked about being able to successfully execute the four-minute offense at the end of the game. What are some elements, other than the obvious physical stuff, what are some of the elements of successfully putting a good four-minute offense on the field?
Well, knowing what they're going to do or anticipating what they're going to do and then being able to execute what you want to do against it. You know, the Jets have shown a number of different things in that situation and this particular time in the last game. You know, we were able to, you know, get done to a degree, you know, what we wanted to do. But, you know, that's, we work on those situations every week, 2 minute, 4 minute, goal line, short yardage, red area, you know, end of the game plays, end of the half plays, no huddle field goal, you know, all that. That's part of our normal preparation. And, you know, now we're turning all that attention to Dallas, so it doesn't really matter what happened last week. You know, it's a whole new, you know, it's a whole new opponent, and there'll be a lot of things that will change.
Hey, Bill, you mentioned that Romo makes plays with his feet. Can you make that work against a quarterback? In other words, he's so confident that he can make plays like that, so that he'll try to force things in there if he sees it. Is that going to work against us?
No, I don't think it works against him at all. I think if it's there, he's throwing it. You know, he'll take the receivers, but, you know, where he can keep plays alive is if the receivers are covered, or, you know, you jam a receiver, you have a good coverage, and there isn't anything there, instead of just, you know, throwing it away or taking a loss, he can keep the play alive and you know, start a new play, if you will, you know, a scramble play, a loose play. And sometimes that's him running, but, you know, most of the time it's him finding somebody that can uncover, or, like I said, in the Washington game was a good example, you know, where he took a play where there was really nothing. Like, he had nobody to throw to and was able to keep it alive for a couple more seconds and then make a, you know, like a 35-yard completion to Dez Bryant, and that led to the winning field goal. So.
All right, that's Patriot head coach Bill Belichick. There's more, and you can hear it on Patriots.com, but you get the general idea. The amount of respect that Coach Belichick has for the Dallas Cowboys, rightly so. A couple more emails, and then we're going to hear from Tony Romo today during a conference call, which you might find a tad interesting, some of the questions that were asked. But that's my little tease. Gene in Daytona says, hi, Pete and Matt in the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studio. I love it when I hear the opponents say that our 32nd-ranked defense is our weakness and they plan to exploit it. How dumb can they be? Bill Belichick has done a good job convincing the media why we are so bad on defense. Our opponents are actually believing in it. I've never seen such a good job of manipulating a local media as Bill Belichick has done. I bet Dallas believes we are so bad on defense they did not even bother to run their offense against our defense using their practice squad. I can bet Dallas believes that no matter what they do on offense, it will work against our defense so bad. Can you think of a better situation? Yes, media, please keep bad-mouthing our defense. I love it. We'll just keep flying under the radar until the axe falls on you. Underestimate us is a sure way for defeat. What I thought was interesting about Clarence Seal, who joined me earlier from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, he talked about the Patriots' defense, but didn't really touch on the fact the Cowboys have given up more points per game than the defense. That kind of slipped his line mind on, you know, America's team. I say that in jest, by the way. Well, if you want to call me on the 8-second hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Leave a thought. And, again, you can email me, webradio@patriots.com. Be here until 6 o'clock. Don't forget tomorrow, Fantasy Football Lowdown with Brian Lowe. Tomorrow from the 4 to 5 hour. And then more on the Patriots and the Jets. I'll be sure, Patriots and Cowboys, and then more on, you know, my picks and all that good stuff. My Meat Shepherd miraculous lock of the week finally lost. I'm now 4-1 because the stupid Eagles suck. They absolutely screwed me. I had them at minus 2.5, and I really thought it was they would get it together. And they are just, you talk about a team in disarray. And there's a lot of them out there. There's a lot of teams in disarray that were allegedly, beyond that. I mean, they're looking for defensive coordinators and defensive help in Philadelphia, psychological evaluations. Donovan McNabb is in Minnesota's tired of people talking about his mechanics. Miami's got nobody to play quarterback. You know, Dallas is mediocre at best. The Jets suck. The Bills, the Bills won, but I don't know what the Bills are. They don't have any major issues. One thing, like I said, the Bills have. At least they have some guts and some heart. I'll give them that. But who else? San Diego? I mean, they got some issues. You know, Phillip Rivers is really not having a great year so far. And, you know, you just look around the rest of the league. Look at the games on a weekend, week out basis. Some of these alleged, supposed to be great teams. Green Bay's lived up to expectations, no question. New Orleans, for the most part, has lived up to expectations. And those teams have their struggles on defense as well. Very similar to the Patriots. New Orleans has given up more points per game than the Patriots, and Green Bay's given up 1.2 points per game less than the Patriots. So that's why I don't tend to panic about net yardage numbers, as I've said so many times. All right, here's Dallas Cowboy quarterback. I'm not sure many of you heard this today, but here's Tony Romo via conference call.
And talk about what you see from this Patriots defense, specifically the secondary.
Well, I think you can tell they're well coached. They play the right technique, and they played really good ball last week. And when you watch them, they can they got a couple big guys up front that can create a problem, and you just got to be ready. They do a lot of different stuff, and obviously they're well coached, and they do a lot of different things. You just have to be prepared for a lot of different stuff and a lot of two man type coverages and things of that nature.
Tony, what do you remember about Albert and Andre when they were with the Redskins? What stuck out?
Well, they're both good players. I mean, Andre's got a great motor. He's always fighting, and he's going to go to the whistle and gets off the ball well. He's a strong player. He can rush the quarterback good, but yet he also gets back. And with Albert, he's a tough matchup. He's a good player that, he has to account for. And, he's got a great history, I guess, the way he's played over the years. And, he's just a guy that we have to be ready for.
The Patriots defense has given up 28 pass plays of at least 20 yards this season. What are you noticing with that sort of trend and how you can attack them?
Well, it's early in the year. I think the off season, there's some things of that nature that just probably took a little time for schematically to get a lot of stuff in. But, they played really well last week. And in stretches, they played really good ball. So I don't know that that's who they are. I think really they're a good defensive unit that just coming into their own lately, and I think they're going to be pretty good the rest of the way.
What did you learn from being a teammate of Drew Bledsoe's for a couple seasons?
Oh, Drew was a consummate professional. He was a good player, and I think just being around him, he was sharp. Drew was a smart guy. He picked things up very fast. You just being around him, you could tell that his football IQ was really high, and in life in general in a lot of ways. And I just think, I tried to just soak up, little things that he did that, you see and you want to, take with you along the way. And he had a great career, and I learned a bunch from being under him.
Tony, you've been in a couple, even so far this season, a couple late game situations that have not ended well. High-profile ones, especially. Wondering what you take from some of those games, how you move forward when it just, when it all goes wrong right at the end.
Well, you never want that to happen. We're also fortunate to have all the things go right against Washington and against San Francisco. So for every game that's the other way, there's another one the other side, and it's, everyone's good in this league, and you have to minimize turnovers in key situations, and, we did that for two of the games, and two of the games we didn't. So, that's really what it comes down to.
How much pressure is there in being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys?
Probably the same as there is for being quarterback for the Patriots. Just, you got to win. We play in a league that is about winning and losing and coming out every Sunday under the pressure and performing. And I think, you know, unless you do that, you're not going to play very long.
Tony, if you had your choice, would you stay in the pocket the whole game, or are there instances where you actually design a play where you want to get out of the pocket and change up the offensive look for the defense that way?
Well, it depends who you're going against. I mean, you game plan certain teams differently. You know, if they have a great front four, you want to move around and help your protection by sliding the front, things like that. If you feel comfortable with the matchups, then you might stay in the play. I mean, it's all just relative to the opponent. Each week, we kind of do things differently. We're not the same team every week. We kind of take what we think a different team does or doesn't do well, and we kind of attack them where we feel like they're weak.
Jason, Garrett talked about the challenges of a relatively young offensive line. What has the biggest challenge been for you, Tony, working with a younger offensive line and a smaller and quicker one?
Well, I don't know. I guess in the grand scheme, there's just the learning that takes place through the experiences of the game and seeing all the different looks and things of that nature that allow you to react slightly quicker. But you know, these guys have done a great job. They're continuing to grow as, you know, individually and collectively as a group. So each week that goes by, they get better and better. You know, I'm excited about them going forward.
When you play against a defense run by Bill Belichick, is it you mentioned they try to do different things and disguise and all that. Is that the toughest thing, that you don't exactly know what you're getting pre-snap?
Well, I think that's definitely part of it. I think, though, I mean, if you're ever going to become, you know, one of the better quarterbacks in the league, you better be able to assess it after the snap. So that's just part of the process. You have to have the ability to start your read after the snap and go from there. Otherwise, it can only be so good.
At 2-2, given the division you're in, Tony, do you feel like this is maybe a unique opportunity that if you guys can somehow get hot, Philly's really struggling badly, the Giants lost a surprising game last week, that you guys still have a chance to compete for the division early on in the season?
Well, we're not thinking about any of that stuff right now. We're thinking about the Patriots and trying to play them this week and play our best game and find a way to get a win. And that's really what this is all about. I mean, all that other stuff will take care of itself down the road, and we don't worry about stuff we can't control.
Did you get a response from the league or from anyone when you mentioned the defensive lineman calling out the snap count? Did you get any help on that one, I guess?
Help? No, we didn't. No, I wasn't the one calling anybody, so I wouldn't know if someone called or didn't call.
With the new rules of the CBA, I think there was a little more guidelines with giving the players some time off during the bye week. Just curious if you noticed any difference in the scheduling of the bye week, as you were part of one of the first teams to get that bye week this season.
For us, it helped just because we had a lot of guys banged up, you know, myself included, just with the ribs and everything. Just kind of, it was nice to have a couple days where you felt like you could get your body right. So I think that's going to help us going forward. As far as the difference, I don't know. In the past, you've had 2 or 3 days. I mean, an extra day, I don't know that it was that crazy or different, but it helped our team, I think, at that time.
Very random question here. LeBron James, big Cowboys fan, alluded to trying out for an NFL team yesterday, whether it was probably joking, but you ever think of him as a wide receiver?
Yeah, I'm sure he'd be phenomenal. He's usually pretty good at whatever he does.
Do you know him at all?
Just in passing.
Another random question. How good would your golf game have to be to give up football and concentrate on the PGA Tour full-time?
That never happened. I love football too much.
You don't think you could get that good?
No, I don't think so.
Thanks a lot, Tony.
Tony, thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one. Bye.
See you Sunday.
God. Oh, LeBron James playing football. That would be a neat trick. Anyway, Tony Romo. Saying all the right things and, you know, nothing earth shattering there. A couple of interesting questions at the end that, you know, guys do these funny little blogs and say this stuff, need these answers for some of these questions about can he play basketball, all that stuff. But basically saying all the right things. But, you know, I wonder what I really wonder how much film this guy watches, how hard he works at it, why he keeps making the same mistakes over and over again through his whole career, and this year single-handedly cost his team 2 games. So I'm wondering how much he actually he gets it. This guy can be rattled. He can be rattled badly. You know, especially it'd be interesting if the Patriots can get in his head early. Is the only way I see this game getting ugly for Dallas. Otherwise, I think it'll be fairly close until the end when the Patriots pull away. But we have seen it time and time again. Have seen it. And we'll see. Email me on the webradio at patriots.com. Call me as well on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook me, Pete Shepard, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. A couple minutes we'll hear from Albert Haynesworth. Short little press conference earlier today. He had, not press conference, but speaking in the locker room. Gene says, hi, Pete and Matt. I hear Romo saying the right words about how he rejects or respects our 32nd-ranked defense. His tone tells me another story. Good luck, Tony. Well, I think if you're Tony Romo, you got to feel confident you're going to be able to put some points on the board. Tony's problem is what I've been saying. Tony's problem is Tony. That's the thing. And like I said, the best part about being a Patriot defender this week is you don't have to be that good, because he will find a way to give you the football, in my opinion. He'll find a way. You know, I'm not saying he's going to throw five interceptions, but he's going to throw a couple. And he will get confused. I've seen him get confused at times he should not be confused. You don't get confused when you're up by 24 points at home against Detroit. He got confused. Or got lazy or whatever it was he got. But he played lousy. So, like I said, that's the best part about being a Patriot defender this week is you don't have to play well. He'll find you the ball. He'll get you the ball. Mark my words. He'll throw one of those head-scratching, he'll do one of those head-scratching passes. You go, what the hell was he thinking? And I hope to God it's Vince. I hope to God it's Vince. Or even maybe how about Haynesworth? I would love for Haynesworth to get a pick and rumble and bumble down the sideline. That'd be funny, too. But you mark my words, Tony Romo will do some head scratch. He'll make a couple of brilliant throws, and you'll say, how the hell did he do that? And then you'll scratch your head 5 minutes later and go, well, how the hell did he do that? What is he thinking? I promise you, the lines that you're going to say, you're going to say, what is he thinking? But that's what he does. So I'm just not convinced that Tony Romo has it in him to win this kind of a game on the road against a superior offense like the Patriots. Because he knows deep down, he knows that they're going to have to put up 35 to win this game. And I don't see that. I just don't see it happening. I do not see it happening. Anyway, tomorrow, don't forget, we're going to do the fantasy football lowdown with Brian Lowe here on Patriots.com and the Pete Shepard Show from 4 to 5. All your fantasy football questions. Then we'll break down more of the Dallas and the Patriot game. We'll get your thoughts and predictions, all that stuff. And I'll get my predictions. 6-6 in, what was I last week? I was 500 again. I was, 6-6 and 1 or something like that. The one push was the Patriots, because at the time when I do the picks, and that's what I go by, it was 9. But by kickoff, the line actually went down to 7.5. So all the dummies out there in Vegas putting all the money on the Jets. And that didn't work out too well. That's why people, a lot of times, people wait in these scenarios and they say, oh, you see, well, I'm going to wait where the smart money goes at the end and the line moves a point and a half, and then they throw the money on that way. Doesn't pan out a lot. About 50-50, just like everything else. Doesn't pan out all that much. But we'll have all the predictions tomorrow from everybody. And who only knows what guess. We shall see. Again, you can Facebook me, Pete Shepard, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. Email me, webradio at patriots.com. And call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. DeMarcus Ware, certainly someone, again, I'll talk about him time and time again. You've got to be aware of him. He can be a disruptor. There's going to have to be, and even though last time they played him was 07, again, that's 4 years ago. And he had a sack in that game. Matt Light did a pretty good job on him for the most part. But he's going to be moving around all over the place. The other thing is, can Scandrick keep up with Wes Welker? I expect Wes to have another big day. I don't think Scandrick can. If Revis can't, I don't think Scandrick can. And you're going to hear Dallas try to spin it this week about Scandrick and Terrence Newman and Mike Jenkins being on the field in the secondary, all three of them at the same time. I don't care. They don't have the defensive weapons to stop Gronkowski and Hernandez and Wes and Deion Branch, hopefully Chad Ochocinco, Slater, whoever else they put out there. Not to mention, if the Patriots can muster up another balanced attack here, which I'm not sure that's going to be the case right off the bat. I'm not saying it won't be that way in the second half, especially if the Patriots take an early lead, but I do think they're going to come out throwing the ball here. But Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is playing great. Danny Woodhead hopefully will be back. He practiced today and limited, but so do a lot of other guys. At least he's back on the field. Nice to see Danny back out there. I just think that the Cowboys are in for, fight of a lifetime. They're going to have to they're going to have to match the Patriots touchdown for touchdown here. And I don't know if they have the firepower to do it. And they have potentially three great players on offense in Brian Austin and Witten. We know that. But Patriots have more. And they have a running game. So we'll see. All right, let's hear it. I don't care. Any chance we can hear? Let's hear. Albert Haynesworth is all set. Let's hear what Albert had to say earlier today from the locker room.
Preparation for opponent, they have more time. That's plain and simple. Probably about 2 weeks to prepare for an opponent, then more rest. And so the teams I played against, when they come up a bye week, they're fresher and they'll throw it at you. as far as when it comes to trick plays, schemes. Whatever you can name it.
The more I play, the more familiar I can get. Coach is not going to rush anything, and he wants me to get my feet under me so I can play well.
How do you feel about where you are physically right now?
I feel okay. I'm still trying to shake some things or whatever, but as time goes, I'm feeling better and better and more comfortable in the whole scheme of things, what I'm doing.
But are you satisfied with your performance so far this season?
I wouldn't say I'm satisfied. If I ain't making every tackle, every sack, every pass defense, I'm not satisfied. So I'm okay with it, but I want to definitely increase and get a lot better, and I want them to see what I can do.
He's a true gunslinger kind of attitude at quarterback, and he's very good at, out of the pocket scrambles and then finding, who's open, letting a wide receiver uncover. So, you just got to pay attention, especially this week, to, really stand tight to those receivers when after coverage and whatnot.
A lot of that goes to effort. They all have good ability. They're all good players, and then you throw effort on top of it, and they're all going to – a lot of gang tackling. You see a lot of plays where the running back's getting hit by multiple guys, and they're all running to the ball, so they're playing – the defense is playing really good.
I'm very humbled, and each week I always just try to learn more about myself and how I can perfect my technique, whether it's just being there on another play that I maybe could have made, or just as far as certain fits within the run scheme that I can help another teammate out. But overall, it's just a blessed performance, but I'm still hungry and just want to make plays.
All right, there it is. Patriots defensive lineman Albert Haynesworth.
A little Andre Carter sprinkled in there.
Yep, a little Andre Carter sprinkled in there as well. And it's hopefully Albert can stay on the field for the. I think if you watched Albert play, as I said earlier, against the Jets, when he was out there, Jets had a hell of a time trying to run the football. So I do think he is making an impact. I know we want to see him have a bigger one. I agree. I think he can. I still think, and at least I like what I'm hearing from him. I'm not hearing. I know he's not satisfied, and that's great. I just like to see him, maybe get to the quarterback a little bit more if that's the game plan, if that's the case. And Carter, too. Carter's shown flashes, but hopefully this will be the week it all comes together, not just for them, too, but on offense for Ocho. I'm going to go with my Chad Ochocinco prediction that he will catch a touchdown this year. All right, one more quick break here on the Pete Shepard Show. When we get back, we'll take more of your phone calls, web radio at patriots.com, and the Ace Ticket Hotline is always available, 508-298-0398. Facebook me, we're broadcasting live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette, back on the Pete Shepard Show until 6. We're going to hear on patriots.com.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights all right from the palm of your hand.
So what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
Bats interception, yes! Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet. Anytime. He's at the 50, the 40!
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10! Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you're frightening the seamstress.
Oh, that tieback is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Get tingly. Here we go.
I have the Jets. You hate the Jets. We hate the Jets. I hate the Jets. You hate the Jets. We will always hate the Jets.
Makes me feel good. A little tingly, huh? A little tingly? Just a little bit? Come on. You know you love it. I just start charging for this. People downloading this on their way.
It's a free concert.
It's ridiculous, you know? Well, I was recruited in Italy several times. Not for opera, though. Anyway, still got time here at the Pete Shepherd Show. A few more minutes. Bob from Worcester says, Pete, Pat's fans in 61. Will the O-line, been doing a great job protecting Tom, save the Jets game, parentheses, be able to contain the very fast and athletic Dallas front seven? Can they constantly get TT a three to three and a half count to get the ball out? I'm seeing it means Tom Brady. Oh, I think so. Like I said, I mean, Dallas is going to try and prepare. The mistake, and I told you it was going to happen, and Clarence Hill fell right into the trap, unfortunately, of talking about the Cleveland game last year. You cannot, you're not in a, in a million years, you're not going to learn much from that game. Because the Patriot offense in that game, I mean, sorry, I think that was the game Hernandez had probably his worst game. He had a fumble, if I remember. Yeah, a couple other things went wrong on offense. Turnovers. Didn't they muff a kickoff too, Kev, or a punt? They muffed a punt. Hernandez dropped a ball that went in. That was, you know, they gave the Browns a couple of touchdowns right away, if you remember correctly. You know, and Brady didn't throw any interceptions in that game. Now, you know, granted, he only passed for 52%, but that was a weird, funky game. You don't do a blueprint for that game. Go ahead. Be my guest. It's going to backfire on you. And if you ask your brother how you're going to beat the Patriots, if you ask Rex at the Jets how you're going to beat the Patriots, well, maybe start with your offense. I mean, you know, Rex Ryan wishes he had Jason Garrett's offense. Maybe that game would have been a little different. But, you know, if you fall into that trap because Rob Ryan defense with Cleveland beat the Patriots last year, that somehow that's going to be a blueprint. That is the biggest trap, but I knew somebody would fall into it, and there you have it. There's one guy. But we'll see. Gene says, hi, Pete and Matt. I know your predictions come tomorrow, but how about a little preview for us of the Jets-Dolphins game this week? Do you think we will have our first coaching opening after the game? Will it be in Miami or New York? I do not think Rex can blame everything on Mason. Oh, well, Rex Ryan's not getting fired after if they lose that game. I don't think they will. Who's quarterback in Miami? Anybody know for sure? Anybody know for sure it's quarterback in Miami yet?
I think it's Matt Moore for now.
Yeah, Matt Moore.
Who knows?
Good luck. The Jets get really lucky that they're playing that team after a bye week. They really are. That's so messed up right there. Email me, webradio on patriot.com. Bob says, Pete, come on, man. TT. Oh, Tom Terrific. Oh, I see. I'm sorry. You're right. I should have picked up on that. But Sven says, ha, I even thought about a Broadway show. We hate the Jets. I would go to that show without a doubt. Hey, we should do that. They should write a Broadway show. I hate the Jets. We hate the Jets. Oh, my. I'd love to star in that. That'd be fantastic. Can you imagine what we could do? You know, Patriots.com Productions. Could see Kev being the stage manager. He'd be like the George Lucas of the production.
I'd wear a giant cloak to work every day. It'd be great.
That'd be great. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, tomorrow, don't forget, it's the Patriot Football Lowdown with Brian Lowe. That is the Fantasy Football Lowdown, I should say, with Brian Lowe coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. All your fantasy football questions will be answered by Brian. My buddy Poker Mike calls in at the bottom of the hour at 4:30. Always very good with his insight. And, of course, we take all your emails and all your phone calls. Well, that's what's going to about do it for this edition of the Pete Shepherd Show. Again, tomorrow, Fantasy Football Lowdown with Brian Lowe early on. Then more Jets. I can't get it out of my head. More Cowboys and Patriots talk coming up later on in the show. Tomorrow starts at 4 o'clock here till 6. Always do it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Thanks to Kevin Collins producing this whole thing. Clarence Hill only took him, you missed it because you were out of the room. It only took him 25 seconds to say America's team. You know, only 25 seconds to say call Dallas America's team.
How about you, Cowboys?
Clarence Hill, Fort Worth, Star Telegram, thank you for your insight. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Again, thanks for all your emails. Thanks for all your phone calls and all that stuff. And real quick again, if I may, coming up tonight, charity poker event in Dedham. Weekly deep stack, $25 satellites at 6, $90 main event at 7:15, 15,000 starting chips, $10 add-on for additional 5,000 chips. Starting stack, $400. First 20 players get a satellite for free. And it's at the American Legion Post, 155 Eastern Avenue in Dedham, right behind the Tahiti Lounge, across from the VFW. Hope to see you there again. American Legion Post, 155 Eastern Avenue in Dedham. Hope to see you there. Craig Bradford, my pal, Helping Hands Poker, do a great job for all the charities. It's fantastic. Anyway, I can't wait for the show tomorrow, right here, 4 to 6, Patriots.com. Have a great Wednesday night, everybody.
Getting high within the game. If you do, then how would you explain? I'm 10 years removed, still the vibe is in my veins. I got a hustler spirit.
How about them Cowboys?
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights all right from the palm of your hand.
So what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
Bats interception, yes!
Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet. Anytime. He's at the 50, the 40!
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10!